Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show Blacklist, Season 3, Episode 19, Cape May. Red ponders life without Lizzie, as we all do. Let's talk about it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Money don't matter tonight.
Hey.
Money don't matter tonight. Sure didn't matter yesterday.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. Had to throw a little Prince there. RIP to Prince Rogers Nelson. I'll move to my right. Oh, there I am. Hi, guys. RIP to Prince Rogers Nelson. Had to bring that. One of my favorite songs from Diamonds and Pearls, Money Don't Matter Tonight. Funk a DJ. One of my favorite songs from the 92 LP.
Right.
Diamonds and Pearls. Anyway.
Like those slow jams.
But Money Don't Matter Tonight. I thought this was appropriate because Red doesn't give a crap about what's going on with
money. He's lighting on fire.
He's lighting on fire. He's throwing it everywhere. He's getting his affairs in order. He's taking an extended leave. So Money Don't Matter Tonight to Red either.
If you guys thought it was easy for us to find a Prince song for this, you're mistaken. My man Braswell had to dig deep.
I had to dig deep to 1992. A B-side of a cut. That's still an excellent song, this Prince. Excuse me. Anyway, very sad, but also, it's a horrible segue, but Prince isn't the only death we have to talk about today.
He's the only real one. She ain't dead.
Okay. Liz, I wasn't here last week.
You weren't here last week.
Was I in an opium-induced fever dream?
No, listen, that's...
Did Lizzie Keene die last week?
You may have been. That has nothing to do with what happened.
Okay.
Whether or not you were tripping out sideways with the pipe, that's your business. I don't have any judgment in my heart.
Sure.
But Lizzie looked like she died last week.
She's free. I saw that she get zipped up.
She got zipped up.
Yeah. And I just want to touch that. I was listening to you guys last week, and you guys were very funny.
We talked about it. If you get zipped in a bag, either you're dead or you're having like a really bad day.
Talk about the rule in all of sort of TV and drama when you know, it's only, they do that move a lot. Even in Game of Thrones, they do it. When you don't see the body, you're not even dead. Even in Star Wars, spoiler alert, when someone, you know, gets it and falls down the thing, there's no body. Hey, maybe he comes back somehow. Maybe he grabbed onto something. Anyway, the point is that we saw it. That's just
right, you know,
after Kylo does his thing, he falls down. He grabs on. I'm
still
alive. Anyway,
he didn't have to announce it, but he did.
That's my dream.
That's true.
Anyway, so my point is that we saw Lizzie die. We saw her get zipped in the bag.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories online and thoughts. You guys offered some theories of your own.
We did.
But clearly, in Red, James Spader was on and he did an interview with EW talking about, look, Lizzie, as far as Red's concerned,
that's it. Exactly.
Lizzie's dead.
Yep.
Like, so he's not in on it. There's no, like, I'm going to protect her by killing her. He's not in on it. Clearly, my man, the doctor, ain't in on it. He tried to save her life. I feel like if the doctor's not in on it, how does she, you know, fake her own death with the doctor?
Doctor's in on it. Gotta be.
Dude,
if
crying
the theory
tears.
Is true, then the doctor has to be in
has
on
to
it.
Be.
Has to be in it.
And no, the most dangerous thing that's ever happened to him is sitting in front of Red explaining this at the beginning of this episode.
That's when I spill it. He's not dead!
Right? He gives me that look for the, you got 5 more seconds that look. Fuck it! I made it up!
This is my point. Like, if he's ever gonna spill it, it's gonna
that
be
was
dead.
It.
He's gonna go. Like, he's not dead. The only person capable of setting this whole thing up is Mr. Kaplan.
That's what we said last week.
And she's the only person who could orchestrate this whole thing, but it would have to involve the doctor.
Has to involve the doctor.
Dr. Nick, for sure. Dr. Dembe, Nick. Most likely.
And we don't know, I mean, like, who knows if Tom's in it or not, because Tom is pretty broken up, but we didn't see him that broken up, so maybe he
wasn't
knows.
That broken up.
No. He didn't seem all that screwed up.
No. He's like...
Guy who lost a wife on his wedding day.
Who knows? But I hate to say this. I'm just going to say it. I hope she's dead.
You're not the first. You won't be the last.
Nope, my friend. You will not be the last.
Okay. RIP to Lizzie Keene and Megan Boone. You're lovely, and you had a great run on Blacklist. If this is, in fact, the end, we appreciate
it's
everything you've done in building this character in the last 66 episodes or whatever we are up to.
433.
But in time, it feels like 433. So I appreciate everything you've done and all that good stuff. But what I will say is that we've been all banging this drum forever. I would love to see this show. The show seems a little handcuffed, not only by Megan Boone, well, not only by Lizzie Keene and that relationship, but like the construct of the show being centered around this mystery of what Red isn't or isn't to Lizzie Keen, and what's going to happen, and what happened with the mom and the thing and the burns and where we get to bottom and the cabal. It just got so bloated, and season after season having to try to figure out what to do, what new twist. I'm like, enough already.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing about this, even if she comes back, even if she's alive, which I would bet a lot of money on, I would bet thousands of dollars that she's coming back. Don't ever take me up on it, because I'm not going to sign anything. But I would bet money that she's coming back. So, but even if she does, what the writers on the show have done, and we've had our issues with them in the past, and not that anybody gives a shit that we have issues with anybody, but even if she does come back, they've broken it. They've broken the episodic nature of this. They've broken the serialized nature of this. And this episode clearly proved we can do way out there, completely different shit that has nothing to do with the with the serialized episodic that we've been doing. And we have broken the Lizzie Red mold. Yeah. So even if she does come back, it's going to be in a lightened capacity. It's going to be. It's not going to be you and me versus the world. It's going to be, now we're going to establish that maybe she's not Red's daughter. Maybe the connection's broken a little bit. Maybe Red finds something else to attach himself to. And I think it's going to be a much more dynamic show when they come back.
I agree.
When
she comes back. I want to hear from you, but I will say, I if she does come back, I vote for the ER series finale, Juliana Margulies and George Clooney version, where like you know,
where it's like the last scene of the last episode of all time.
And it's like, Clooney, you were there all along. Here I am. Roll credits.
Don't even have to say a word.
Lizzie, here's my baby. I was alive the whole time. Credits. Like I'm voting for that one.
Okay.
That's anyway, it.
Okay, I'll buy that. I'm totally into
this
that.
Episode. I want to get into this episode. But I first want to say hi to our folks in the chat room. A lot of folks are listening. The Skeptical African, my man. No, you're welcome for Prince. Ethan, nice to see you. Let me get my knife out so I can butcher this name. Naji Padagou from Paris, France. That's not even close. Doesn't even sound like French. For that,
not even vaguely like French.
But hello to you, Nikki, the usual Nikki's, and Be Well, I'm the Boss, and Daniel, and Ethan, and all the rest of you folks. Great to have you. Ashley, thank you for joining us. Hello, hello, hello. Let's get into this. So this episode was great. I loved it. This is what they call a bottle episode, you know, in the TV business, because it's, again, like you said, it broke out of the serialized thing, kind of was its own self-contained thing. Although I feel like it was chock full of information.
Yes.
And I'm not embarrassed to say, I don't know what the fuck was going on in this episode. I'm not embarrassed to say. However, I do know, and I haven't rewatched or watched with the captions or done that stuff or take copious notes on this thing, but I do know there's a lot of information that we're going to find out later. I did predict to myself that maybe this is some sort of, you know, opium den. I think it's going to wake up in the opium den, like this, that the whole episode took place in the opium den, like a Twilight Zone episode. But yeah, I mean, this is clearly some fever dream, and there was a lot of information disseminated throughout this adventure he had. I want to get into it and unpack it, but I loved it. What did you think, Julia?
I freaking flipped for this episode. Are you kidding me? You both were saying, I do love the departure from the, you know, the procedural aspect in favor of a spotlight on Spader, because no one could carry an episode like James freaking Spader.
You're 100% right. Yeah. In case you guys forgot, this is James freaking Spader.
He's like,
you
know, no Megan Broom, no problem.
Got this.
No post office. No, wrestler, you take the day off too. Aram, I got this. I'm James Spader.
To see him wandering and lost within his own psyche was so dense and so beautiful to watch. It. And speaking of dense, this episode, like, all I have written down are just quotes, because I felt like every single quote was extremely important and extremely layered.
You did. Well,
I don't really have notes on the quotes. It's just like, oh God, let me write that down. Oh God, what's that going to mean? What is that? What does that inform later? So that's, I can't really piece it together yet.
Yeah.
But I'm into it. I don't know what it means, but I'm drawn to it, and I'm just like soaking in it.
We can have a lot of fun kind of going through these quotes and trying to decipher what we think this means, and it's in a macro sense, and actually each of these quotes as well. But before we do that, Joe, what did you think?
I said earlier, I think this is awesome departure. Totally cool, totally brilliant, and completely unexpected. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
I expected a totally typical procedural wrap-up following someone has died,
right,
where we go through and everybody's all screwed up, and then we go through the funeral. And there's taps and there's the 21 guns. That was my expectation.
Which is happening. I've seen.
I'm sure it's happening.
Well, I've seen some stills on Entertainment Weekly.
But this is what I thought today was going to be.
Right.
But the writers gave themselves, the show gave itself so much room here, and they took full advantage of Red. Like, they started in the opium den, which I don't even know there's opium dens anymore. Who knew?
Well, so any restaurant that has a false wall in New York, they all have them, apparently.
I'm such a rube. And I love, one of the things I love about Red as a character is that he's a character with no rules. Right. Like, there's no, he has his moral code. It is his moral code. It doesn't matter what anybody else feels about it. It doesn't matter what the actual laws are. And I love that they take that and go, you know what, where do we start him? Well, we start him in a freaking opium den.
Right.
And the old lady comes in and says, too much time. You gotta go.
Even if it's Friday.
Yeah, get the fuss out. You're done. You're cooked. And no rules. No rules, Red. And then, do you want to take the gun? No, I don't take the gun. Right. I'm moving on. Yeah. I stumbles outside, and he's got that weight. He's got that weight of loss and heartache, and he's completely careless. He's been this careful guy for how many years?
Sure.
And he stumbles out in the streets, almost gets hit by a cab.
It is a continuation of what we saw in that collapse.
Yes.
Which was a heart-wrenching scene. It's the continuation of that same guy. And frankly, and just one more thing to touch on the opium den, is that, you know, I mean, the Nick, you know, Dr. Thackeray, for those of you watching the
movie,
a lot of time in the opium den, but like that's set in 19 or something. So this is great. But this is exactly where I think Red, the type of vice I would expect Red to have.
Yeah,
Red's not going to go and go on a cocaine bender. He's not going to slam a bunch of Molly. He's not going to drink a bunch of scotch, maybe. You know, he's not going to, you know, do a bunch of heroin. He's going to take it all the way back to the turn of the century and find an opium den.
He's a classic guy.
And spend a week in an opium den just to get it, just to work the shit out.
Well, I mean, that's legit, though. That's, I mean, the reason that the pipe goes sideways and you put your head on the thing is because once you smoke it, you are in your own little freaking universe.
Yeah.
And that's
you sound like a man who's been in a few dens.
I have not been in an opium den. That's too deep for me, man. I don't have that kind of time. I got kids.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll see you guys on Wednesday. Daddy loves you.
I got one quick dip into the old den.
I'll be back on Wednesday. Daddy loves you. Daddy's got to go trip for a while.
You work out the school. Right. You work out this. You walk home from school today.
Right? Baby, do your homework. Daddy loves you.
I'll be in the den. Yeah, so
that's a commitment, man.
That's some deep water. So listen, so that happened. I agree. Like we have the start of this episode. And he says he needs to go to a very mysterious place called Cape May, New Jersey, right? And so he heads out to Cape May.
It sounds mysterious, but if Cape May is real and you're from there, it's probably not mysterious.
I feel like, and I get a chance to look up if Cape May is real. We're Los Angeles West Coast guys. What do we know?
Whole lot of nothing.
We know there's a lot of capes in the East Coast.
Yes.
You know, Northeast is full of capes.
It's not our kind of beach.
We don't have any capes in the West Coast.
No capes.
So,
Cape May is a city in New Jersey.
All right.
City in the south, the southern tip of Cape May Peninsula in Cape May County, New Jersey, where the Delaware Bay meets the Atlantic Ocean. It's real.
Okay.
3-star average, $180 a night for hotels.
Thank you.
Currently 76 degrees, winds out of the southwest at 12 miles an hour, 51% humidity. Enjoy your time in Cape May.
Thanks, Travelog.
Absolutely.
Travelog Flippo. It's Anthony Bourdain over here.
Hey, welcome to Cape May. We're going. Sit down.
So he goes to Cape May. Yeah, it seems beautiful. It seems like it's a typical Northeast type of place. You know, it's in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big resort there. He's immediately something's not right. It's something that it really does. It feels like The Shining meets
The
Sixth Sense meets Inception meets Steph from Pretty in Pink. I don't know.
That's the best movie ever.
That's the best movie ever.
Well, it's the best hour we've had ever on The Blacklist.
Pop the pink collar whenever your kids are ready to go upstairs.
Oh,
I'm James Bader. Anyway, so and things start happening. It starts with the diner. You know, let me ask you, when was the first clue you guys got that something was off?
Time jump.
That there was a payphone in the diner.
Yes. Good clue. Look, you're on some Sixth Sense shit.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, she's got her Scooby Doo.
There's payphones in Cape May.
Oh, okay.
It's New Jersey. What do you want?
I had no sense of the town yet, so maybe it was a town that was sort of stuck in time. You
could
know,
be stuck around.
They're out there.
That's when I first got my sense of something's going to be a different episode. But then when we got to the point where he's looking at the photos and he's looking at, you know, the lens flare photo of Lizzie and the mom and everything else. But once he gets to, the resort spot and there's a woman there and she's not there.
Oh, the receptionist.
The receptionist is there.
With a different kind of phone.
She's not there. So can I ask the first?
But that was later.
Yeah.
I thought that was it?
No, that was after. That was after. Wasn't
that?
That
was after he saved her.
That was after
he saved her. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember. I'm time jumping out. So he goes out there and he sees this woman, you know, heading towards the beach mysteriously.
The woman that he had just seen at the diner escape the.
Exactly.
But that's the time jump. Like at the diner, he's watching what's happening. Something's going on. It's Red, and then there's a time jump. We go right to the resort, and he doesn't resolve the problem, which is very un-Red. That's what.
Yeah. Well, when he sees her, this is, you know, suspiciously like how the story he told Lizzie, is this correct, about how, is this how Lizzie's mom died?
Yeah, she walked into the ocean.
Yeah, so this is the same thing. So we're seeing that. So immediately we're like, okay, well, this is... Did you get that immediately?
Yeah.
Did you have to think about that?
Well, I got it, but then I wasn't sure what time we were in. I wasn't sure what we were doing with this episode yet.
Right.
So I was like, walking into the ocean, just like Catherine. Is this a thing people do? Is this a normal
way to commit suicide? Seems like a terrible way to kill yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. Like not the most efficient way to commit suicide, by the way. You're just going to do the whole, like, waves or even stand back up.
You know, they did it a couple seasons ago on Shameless, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, we do this? This right. works?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, drowning is drowning. Just seems like a really difficult choice to make.
I mean, Ophelia did it. She was batshit crazy. Yeah.
She was. And it's Hamlet's fault.
It's all Hamlet's fault.
So, yeah, so he saves
nerds.
Her.
Nerds!
And you know, gets her in.
Theater
and,
nerds. Yes. My God.
Or Polonius.
Oh, Polonius. Behind the curtain. Stab.
We got 20 minutes.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
So he saves her. He gets back to
Laertes comes back pissed. I mean, I'm just saying, if you haven't seen the show.
It's all right.
Yeah,
all he's right. my favorite Laertes.
He comes back red.
Mini Hamlet, really.
With old girl.
Yep.
And he gets back to the place, and he does see this. So this is where I start to think, like, something's not quite right.
This is where you pick up on the sixth sense situation.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay, where are we? And then that's when I immediately do my, like, oh, he's back in the opium den the whole time. This is some sort of weird dream. So what are we going to... That's when I start paying attention. Well, what are we going to learn from this? What are we here to learn? And then they have a very, I assume, a very revealing conversation and say a lot of stuff, Red and this woman. But I didn't understand... I think my problem during this episode is I'm trying to read into what's happening as opposed to taking anything at face value. But how did you read their first conversation?
Well, the second that he crawled into bed with her and put his arm around her and put his head against her head and said, "Tell me, you know, talk to me." I was like, "Oh wait, this isn't just some stranger."
Right.
You know, I was grappling back and forth. This is Katarina's. This is in his head. Like, what exactly is happening here?
Right.
And then we saw the receptionist with a different kind of phone.
Sure.
From a different era.
Yep.
So the second he crawled into bed with her. And, you know, I love that they never made it obvious. They always kept us just on teetering on the edge of wondering really what was happening and if she was real or if this is a flashback, what it is.
Yeah.
But that was my biggest clue is when you don't crawl out of bed with a stranger. It's not college anymore.
No.
Those days are gone.
Those days are long gone.
Speak for yourself.
Joe frequents several colleges all the time. Look out, Santa Monica City College. Braswell's en route.
But then what they talk about, you know, it's not the way he died. What does she say? It's not that he died. It's not the way that he died. It's the things I said to him right before he died. And I was like, okay, yes, it is, Katarina. There's a couple times I was like, yes, no. Yes. No. Yes. No.
Okay.
Yes, no.
So the bit where she says, you know, someone's trying to kill me, this is obviously referring to the past and what's happened. Is this episode intended to shine light on us, to shine light on what the backstory is with Katarina and Red and subsequently Lizzie? Is this what we're supposed to like? Because we never got any
answers.
But
here's what they did.
There is no answer.
Here's what I think that they did that I love about the episode. Instead of having a bunch of, exposition, you know, a bunch of basal exposition sitting there explaining it all to you, they wanted you to feel it because if you can feel it, if you've seen it and experienced it with him, right, then you can truly understand what it was he went through, and then you can truly understand how he could be connected to Lizzie without being her dad, and you could wrap your head around it. If you just say it, it's not enough. Even if you have some flashbacks, it's not enough. And then you got to think about the clunky mechanism. Do we age Red back 30 years and try and make young James Spader somehow happen?
No.
Do we? How much would it cost to Terminator 3 or Terminator 5 or whatever the hell the last one was where they made Schwarzenegger young? Mm-hmm. How much would it cost to, is that even feasible? No. How do we do that? We can't do it. So what's our next best thing to bring the audience into this relationship and get them to experience it so that they understand his level of love and investment and at the same time not make it something that they can dismiss and walk away from? And that's, I think that's what this episode was. And they made
it's a great job. It's a great job with that.
It was risky.
They're also very risky, brilliant. But it's also able to sort of keep us, keep us shrouded in mystery and keep us guessing still, which is somewhat annoying, but I was okay with it this time.
I was okay with it.
Because it felt like, maybe this story is still going to propel the Blacklist forward as we're getting maybe some of the answers, but not all the answers. We still don't have the main answer, whether or not Red is the father.
We still don't know exactly what Katarina and Red's relationship is. We still don't really know.
No, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
But there was an intimacy that they had together that was just and a comfort and like a big ups to Lottie Verbeek.
Lottie Verbeek.
Oh my God, was she phenomenal?
No relationship to Jane
to the Beek.
To the Beek.
To the Beek.
To the Beek.
She's, yeah.
What? Oh my God, was she a killer?
She was stunning.
Unbelievable. Where was she? 3 years. Anyway,
she should have cast her and be Lizzie Kane. She'd make a great Lizzie Kane.
Lizzie Kane up. La la la.
No offense.
But. Oh my God, was that? Yeah. She was awesome and beautiful and just.
And forget all about that. It's really the chemistry. Fantastic.
Yes.
Chemistry.
Yes.
The instant comfort and the rapport that they had.
Exactly.
And their ability to communicate and talk and just good old fashioned grown up ass acting.
Yes.
Like she's in.
Yes.
She's in the tub and he's outside the room and they're having this incredibly intimate discussion.
Yep.
And you're totally in.
Yeah,
and completely in.
And also, like we've talked about this before, when you get some guest stars in the Blacklist, that it's fantastic to see. And I'm trying not to pour dirt on Lizzie Keene, but like it's fantastic to see James Spader in a scene with someone who can hold their own with James Spader, because James Spader was bringing the heat. He was throwing high heat, 100 miles an hour plus, and she was like crack. Like, no problem.
Not a sweat.
It's really
without
nice
a doubt.
To see.
It was amazing.
Whereas, you know, other folks may have been like...
Anyway.
Crumbling.
Don't act at me!
Yeah. Don't act at me!
Stop acting at me! I gotta go.
Get out of the pressure! Don't act at me!
Throwing all those words! Yes. So that was really great to see. I want to talk about this, one of my favorite tropes in action movies and in television movies, which is this sort of like, we're alone in the house and the bad guys are coming. So we've got to do one of two things, either do some badass super spy shit or do the Home Alone.
Home Alone it.
Home Alone it/A-Team.
Yeah, we're going to Home Alone it.
All I got is a propane tank, a nail gun, and 4 ounces of crazy glue. Let's do it.
The Born Ultimatum, the Equalizer.
Over and over again.
The Gunman with Sean Penn. I love that move where like, there's 30 guys coming. It's just me and you. What do we do? I've got two bullets and a stick of gum.
Yep.
Let's go, MacGyver.
Let's do it. We got this.
So I love that. And
loved it.
Yeah. That was great to see, because you get the idea that there's some ingenuity on Red's part, but also this woman is very capable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's not in the fucking around business.
Right.
And when she bashes dude's head in, she bashes dude's head in. She doesn't knock him down so that Red can get up and finish the job.
Right.
Oh, she don't need no Red.
I'm going to put this dude's face through the back of his head. I'm going to use this here washstand to do it. You stay where you are, sweetheart. I'll let you know when I'm done.
What was the line that she said where he said something and she's like, Red, don't be ridiculous about it.
Raymond, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, I don't
Raymond.
Even know your name.
Yeah, I don't know your name.
Don't be ridiculous,
Raymond. Don't
Raymond.
Be ridiculous.
Yeah. And I was like, huh?
Like, okay, this ain't real, but it's badass.
That was like the defining moment. Because like, up until that time, I was like,
you could maybe,
80% thinking this was Katarina. And then don't be ridiculous, Raymond. But, was like, it is her.
But it also...
But, go ahead. Hold, please. Were we not led to believe that Katarina has blonde hair?
Yes, we were led to believe that Katarina has blonde hair. And there's also another red herring in here.
IMDb?
Yeah, the IMDb.
Uh-huh.
If you list, what's her name? The Vanderbeek? What's her chick's name?
Lottie Verbeek.
Lottie Verbeek is listed as Sasha.
Sasha Rostova.
Sasha Rostova.
Oh, what does that mean?
Who the F is Sasha Rostova?
Auntie Sasha?
Auntie Sasha? Auntie.
What? What? Did I miss that?
So I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's just a weird... just something
like a glitch?
Maybe they were messing with us.
Or maybe they threw
it
out there
Masha.
Because...
I don't know.
Who knows?
Sasha, Masha. Name it after your beloved redheaded sister.
Yeah.
Well, and let's be real. I mean, I got a redheaded wife who's blonde 95% of the time. I mean, red to blonde is not a big swing.
I'm blonde.
Right.
Now I'm
redheaded. Red. She look a little red today.
Naturally blonde. Turned to red.
So who knows with that? That is also confusing as heck, because maybe this was Sasha, who's red hair, and Masha has the blonde hair. So whatever. So we have that thing. The main question I had is, so that whole action sequence, Home Alone action sequence, that was really great. Was that supposed to represent what happened that night?
Kind of got that vibe, right?
I was wondering, like, did this story actually happen? Did this attack actually happen? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and then those guys, I couldn't really tell if those guys...
They looked contemporary. Yeah, they didn't look dated.
They seemed like contemporary hitters as opposed to, like, guys from the 80s.
But they looked like the contemporary B team, though. They didn't come in...
Right.
And they could have cast those guys much harder. Sure. But they didn't. I think they made a conscientious choice that this was not going to be, like... They didn't send out a bunch of Dembes.
Right.
And they've cast a bunch of Dembes before. Sure. They've cast a bunch of badasses, but these guys were kind of like mid-level looking guys. Didn't they look?
Yeah. I mean there was no, you know, I don't know. They looked pretty modern, especially the black guy looked like very modern.
Yeah.
In there. Like he looked, so I don't know. Who knows? But that was interesting. So maybe that was... represent at first, like, is this really happening? And well, is it just him by himself?
Maybe it's,
and he thinks he's with her?
Maybe within his psyche, it's sort of a merging of the two worlds, his current world
and
the world in which they fought.
Because he saw both, together. Right? Because he saw that telephone. He saw the old school telephone with the girl and with the woman in the outfit. And then two seconds later, we saw the newer one, which was still a 90s version of it. With all the different, you know, as a 90s version.
So maybe he's envisioning a modern enemy, but fighting in an old style, the way he would fight with Katarina.
But I mean, but the propane tank was modern. It was a modern propane tank. It was like a blue rhino thing, if I remember right. I don't think they had a what you call it on it. There wasn't like a, it didn't say blue rhino, but it looked like one of the modern propane tanks you just sub out at the gas station.
Fantasy Stats Guru says he thinks it was Red imagining Lizzie's daughter growing up, that's one theory.
Agnes
Katarina's at the end.
Spagnus. Oh, shout out.
We got to give a shout out to Christina 5747.
Yes.
Spy baby Agnes. We have to call the baby Spagnus.
Spagnus.
Yes.
That's for you.
Spagnus of God.
Spagnus of God.
And there was one other thing that I forgot to mention here too. But so there is a. So that all happened, and then after that, he said, we gotta clean this mess up. They presumably go to sleep. They wake up. He sees her going off to the ocean again. He runs out there to save her. She's gone, and we have the moment, you know, when he's like, well, what did you see? Where is she? And dude's like, dude, the only person saw you is up here is you.
You're the only living soul.
In the last 2 weeks, not the last 24 hours, the last 2 weeks.
And very specific, the only living soul that leaves no stone unturned. So no one's been here but you, buddy.
For 2 weeks, dog. Yes. 2 weeks you've been running around like a maniac.
And when he finds the necklace, the thing, that's a little convenient, by the way. Like, that he just happened to find that.
Well, we did see her the first time she walked in the ocean take off her jacket and her necklace.
Right. I saw
over
got
time
that,
it would have moved over.
Yeah. Okay. But the fact that he found it there was somewhat.
It was meant to be.
Convenient. Okay, I'm not.
It was meant to be. It's what brought him back to reality.
And this is the question, right? Has he been tripping the whole time? Has there been a ghost? Has there been something in between? I don't know.
Yeah.
But if he's been tripping the whole time, it is incredibly convenient that poof, there we go. But if there was a ghost involved, I don't know. Okay. Some shining action right there.
I have no idea. So I want to know. What are we supposed to? And then of course he says, "I've got someone to see."
I don't get it. I don't know who's got to go see.
Why is he telling that guy?
That guy doesn't care.
Tell.
Yeah,
that guy's like, I just made money from. I've been out here with this goddamn metal detector for years. This is the first time I came up.
So give me. So I want to know from you, Julie, because you got the notes.
Just quotes.
Give me some quotes. Let's see what you got.
All right.
Let's see if we can figure.
Ever spared someone who deserved to die, and that's when he talks about my heart, my life. I would get everything to be a part of that child's life, but that's when it's revealed that Tom has kicked him out completely.
Yes. Yep.
So that's something that we need to touch on.
Yeah.
And to harm him would be to harm him would be to harm her.
Right. Yes.
Speaking of Spagnus.
Right. And so Tom's out. You know, Tom's out, setting up for a potential. I mean, there's talk of, and I think they're in development now. If it goes to series, the Blacklist spinoff with Ryan Ryan and Famke. So I don't know, and maybe Spagnus.
You know, maybe knows? Spagnus. Probably Spagnus.
And Gina Sakatako's hottest stepmom in town.
Well, I think I still stand by it. She should be the hottest stepmom.
She's the hottest stepmom.
First of all, it's so disrespectful to call Xanatakos the stepmom already.
What? She would be.
That's what her deal would be.
Who knows? She's going to get back together. He loves Lizzie.
I'm just saying, if Lizzie's dead, Gina Sakatako's
is... going to go back to the murderous Xanatakos with Spy
Dude, baby? She's right there.
Yeah, she's hot.
Okay, what about the whole suicide little speech he gave about the suicide bomber in Tel Aviv.
And
that
all the
has
fallout,
like Emmy crazy, written all over it. Come on.
And he grabs her. You're not going, this story, I'm going to keep you here with this story. Yeah. I'm going to make you stay here with the story.
That was the other clue that I said that this can't be real. Because they're like, the hitters are outside. They're coming with guns. Hold on. Let me tell you this 5 minute monologue. Okay, but the guys are coming. 10 years ago. It's like, oh, Jesus. So I don't know. I thought like maybe this is not real. But go ahead.
No, I just thought that was so poignant and so devastating and heartbreaking.
Every suicide has that. That's
every suicide
point.
Is an act of terror against anyone you've ever known that's
and
ever loved you.
Everyone's ever loved you.
Yeah.
And the closer you are to the suicide bomber, the more horrific the effect.
So good.
Damn, it's
good. So good.
Spader.
Good.
Spadered
good
the shit out of that monologue.
Yes, he did.
But it really gave an idea of how her suicide devastated him.
Right.
Like, just tore his world apart.
Like Tel Aviv cafe devastation.
Yes. And because of that, he chose the child. And what did he say? That he was making that choice, you know, his Hobson's choice to choose one or nothing. And he chose the child and that it was an arrogant choice. He became arrogant.
Right.
That he thought that if he nourished her, protected her, taught her, that she would be safe and happy. And no matter what he did, all he brought was, what did he say?
Misery, pain, and
misery,
and
violence.
Danger.
And yeah. then she said, and death.
Oof.
Damn it. Anything else? One last one?
Those are some of my faves.
Those are great.
Those are good ones, right?
What did we learn?
The last one that killed me was I am her mother and I am death to her.
God
damn.
Yeah. So
Lottie
that was her excuse for the suicide. I am her mother and I am death to her. Like, come on, rip my heart out.
That's also very similar to what maybe Red is feeling about
absolutely
the relationship. So there's some parallels there.
And how he's feeling about Agnes.
Spagnus.
You know, like he's her whatever he is to her, but he loves her desperately, and all he wants to be is a part of her life, and he can't.
Cannot.
And he can't kill Tom to get him out of the way, because to kill Tom would be
to
kill
her.
Yeah.
So maybe this was his sort of grappling with suicide.
Mm. Yeah. Oh!
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll 30 seconds each or 15 seconds each. What did we take from this episode? What did we take away?
Well, like I said earlier, I think this was their way of bringing us into Red's brain, and I think they're incredibly efficient about doing it. And what a wonderful use of what could have been a typical, and it will be, like you said, a typical funeral episode. We didn't have that. This was a wonderful way to experience his life and experience what this all was to him. I thought it was flipping perfect, and it was one of those things. My wife and I afterwards, we looked at each other, we're like, was this a goddamn blacklist? This was fantastic,
right?
And like you said earlier, I think at the beginning, this gives us an idea of what the blacklist could be without this constant procedural that it's kind of built itself into. And it gives, I think they've given themselves a ton of freedom. What the takeaway has got to be is this is what the depth of what Red's emotional connection is to these women, and now we can kind of get an idea of how much this means to him, not in a mysterious way, not in an out there kind of ethereal way, but in an actual visceral way. We've experienced it with him now.
Got it. You have 10 seconds now.
Pretty much everything he just said, you know, he can go on for 10 more seconds if he wants. No, that's okay. It was such a risky move from the blacklist. I'm so proud of them for doing it, and the way that they executed it was just so stunning and freaky and just dreamlike and haunting. So good job, Spader. I love every second of you. Keep doing what you do, bro.
This is one of the best. This is one of the best written episodes of the series.
Period.
In terms of pure writing, one of the best acted episodes of the series. And it was a bottle episode. I think we got a lot of information, even if we didn't get anything. I thought it was great. A great way to restart and reboot the series. I do want to say, folks online are in kind of a bit of an argument about whether or not Katarina Rostova is Red's daughter or Lizzie is Red's daughter, back and forth. Ashley Skinner, who I agree with, says, "How come everyone believes that this?" That their father and daughter, after the staff, crew, writers, actors have said, no, they are not father daughter. I agree, Ashley. Why do people still think that?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows except for Spader. That's what Amir Arison told us.
That's true. Okay. Well, I need
but I still don't think he's a father, but I'm just saying.
He is.
He's the only
father.
One who knows.
Michael Jones wants to know, did Red go to Cape May to kill himself?
That's what Julia was just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh. That was the point she was making. Yeah, like, what if this whole thing was his way of dealing with the potential of walking into the ocean?
Yeah, that was our fist bump moment. I'm saying, but that's just, I'm just echoing that. Miss Blonde, let's see. Okay, that's it. That's all I got. Really quick predictions. Can we do predictions? Do we have time for that?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, 10 seconds each show.
I got nothing. I really don't. This whole thing threw me for a loop.
Julia.
Well, I saw in the previews that we see a glimpse of Fonka Jensen. So the spinoff is happening, and this is going to be the gateway to it. If the theory is correct that Lizzie is not dead, I don't know how she is. If she is not dead, maybe this whole thing was planned by Fonka Jensen. Maybe the whole thing with Solomon was a red herring to get her Tom and Mr. Kaplan to capture her and get her out of the way. I don't know. That's pretty convoluted.
Who hired Mr. Solomon and who hired this Halliburton or Halonon or whatever the Halliburton.
Halcyon. I don't know. Halcyon. I mean, really, the truth of the matter is I don't have a freaking prediction. Yeah. Okay?
Okay, fine enough.
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
I think that Red's going to sort of like the new Blacklist is coming to see who was after Liz and who's after Liz's baby and then finding their way to those people to get inside this Halonon situation. Mr. Solomon becomes the big bad. The post office and Red all work to find people who were trying to get Lizzie, who subsequently got her killed. I think that's where this is heading, I hope.
Well, maybe Fonka Jensen's entire character was to get Lizzie away from Red.
Yeah, maybe, because
maybe her job is to keep her safe.
She can't be the big bad because she has her own series coming, so who knows?
She can be.
Or maybe she could be the big bad of another series. Hmm? Who knows? All right, folks, that's it for us. We've got to go. We're out of here. That was great. We love that. Thank you for joining us in the chat room, folks. We appreciate you guys all there. And please, on iTunes, go check us out. Rate us on iTunes. We like fives, but if you do, it helps others find us in our podcast. We appreciate all your loyalty. Wow, there's a whole bunch of you watching right now. We appreciate all that, guys. Cher, Marcella, Iris, Sylvia, Michael, everyone. French person whose name I butchered. I appreciate all you guys for checking us out. Joe, where can people find you?
On the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo.
You.
Me. Twitter and Instagram was my name, Julia Carely, JuliaCarely. Follow me.
Twitter, Instagram, at Joe K. Braswell, Snapchat, JK Braz, Nadji Peregu. That's probably wrong too. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you coming in, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.